Love Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. This is Franchise Today, returning back after being off the air last week as we were going through some horrific weather down here in South Texas, floods, and I was busy finishing up on my ark and gathering up two of every animal that I could find. And Stan, you know, it certainly felt that way last week. I got to tell you, being disconnected, modem down, router down, phones, everything down for a few days, it was almost of biblical proportions.
You without a phone is a frightening thought. It's almost, to me, that's like you're going into rehab or something. I mean, how did you get through that, Paul?
It was very, very difficult. I did a lot of reading, which was good. But, you know, I felt so helpless. There's so many people out there to this day that are out of their homes. There are areas of town that are still flooded. There's two big dams on the west side of town, the west side of Houston, that are still at critical levels. It's just they're going to live through this for the next, 90 to 120 days. And of course, there's, many people that weren't even that fortunate and perished by making a poor decision and going across what appeared to be, a couple of inches water on a roadway, and all of a sudden gets swept down a creek or in a drainage ditch or whatever. Just horrible.
But from listening to you this morning, just before we went live, it sounds like some of this is still with you, and it's not quite through pummeling you guys yet.
Yeah, it's springtime. We had a series of severe thunderstorms come through this morning, and there was some tornadic activity. I heard that one or two people had died not far from here when a tree crashed through their home. It's just, that time of the year, but it seems to be in turbo mode. It was just a couple of years ago going through drought. Today we have all this water. We don't even know where to put it.
Well, it's like everything else. The pendulum never seems to stop in the middle, does it, Paul?
No, it
doesn't.
Let's
bring the fun part in, boys.
Yeah, but we're back on the air, which is good. And we do have a special guest today, Nancy Friedman, no relation to you, Stan, as we know, but just to confirm that with our listening audience. And I know, Stan, you're at the Multi-Unit Franchising Conference in Las Vegas, and you'll only be with us in a couple of minutes as you head down to the activities. And we look forward to hearing about the Multi-Unit Conference when we're back on the air next week.
Yep, the show kicked off a half hour ago, Paul, and I'm heading down. And I just thought that I'd toe into the front end of the program today and say that as we continue to build the audience and grow the show and create some working systems between us and even a little bit of boundaries, Paul, I feel like at no given time should there be more than one Friedman on the air on this program at the same time. So I'm going to evoke privilege today and say I'm going to leave the right Friedman with the audience, and the audience can give a round. They could give a little round of applause now for me stepping back and leaving you guys together, and I'm going to run down and get into the General Assembly, and can't wait to talk to you next week about what
I've
learned here.
Have a great show. Have a great time, Stan.
And you guys have a great program today.
Thanks, Stan. Well, as I said, my guest today is Nancy Friedman. She's a two-time IFA mini-session speaker. She's brought her keynote programs and workshops to dozens of franchise conferences around the country, entertaining the audience with her straight talk, no nonsense, common sense approach to her tips, ideas, skills, and techniques, covering all six touch points of communication: email, snail mail, phone, fax, and face-to-face. Nancy's more than just telephone, as we hope today she'll explain some of the positively memorable experiences that really are more than just customers in the great, great world of franchising. Nancy, welcome. Actually, it's welcome back to Franchise Today.
Welcome
correct?
Back. Yeah, welcome back. Yeah. Let's hear it. But where was that round of applause? I didn't hear it. Okay. Do you think there's a few people that didn't go to the multi-unit show that are listening?
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Okay.
And
good.
Has,
good. Because I have a special. I have a special surprise for those that are listening. I didn't even tell you about it. So we want them to stay on, and in a few minutes I will share it. But go ahead. I didn't interrupt. Yes, I did.
Well, yeah. You know, most of we get our fair share of live listeners, but by Monday we'll probably have today's show listened to anywhere between 5,000 and 8,000 times, and that's really the power of franchise today, as we've had well over 200,000 on demand listens within the last 2 years alone. So, and considering
I've only heard great things about the show, so I am proud and honored to be on with you.
Yeah, considering, you know, we only are targeting the franchise professionals that are out there, which is roughly 12 to 14,000 people, we're real proud of what we've achieved with the show. And quite frankly, it's having people like you on the show that has made it a great show, because taking the time out from a busy schedule and sharing insight and perspective and experience is certainly something Stan and I couldn't do alone. So I really look forward to talking with you today. And tell us a bit about, you know, a lot of people hear, you know, telephone doctor, Nancy Freeman, the telephone doctor. But obviously what you do is much more than just the telephone. It has to do with customer service and amongst a lot of things. But give us a little bit of a biology time frame as to, you know, how you started, how you wound up at the as the telephone doctor, and where you are today.
Wow, I like that, biology of telephone doctor. That's that, I'm going to grab that. That's a great one. Well, I am the world's only telephone doctor, and it is a wonderful story. I will not give you the full blown one because that will take up way too much time. But it's such a fun story because it was the right place at the right time, which is, you know, what do they say, when luck and opportunity meet, you have success. About 20 some odd years ago, I picked up my telephone and I called my insurance agent and I told him to cancel all my policies. No small job. We were his largest account. I could hear him fall off his chair. He said, "My gosh, what happened?" I said, "Your people stink. That's what happened. They're so rude. They're so unfriendly. They're so unpleasant. And I don't want to deal with you anymore." He said, "You know, you're right. When I call your office, I'm treated like a king and I'm not even a customer." I said, "Michael, we treat our wrong numbers better than you treat your customers." That does get a laugh line call in the audience. But he said, "Would you come over and show my people what you do?" So I said, "Yeah, I will." So I came over and I said things like, you know, "Say please, say thank you, say you're welcome." And these people are writing as fast as I could talk. Had another donut, had another coffee, started to leave. And the president of the insurance agency says, "Wait a minute, Nancy." I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Well, nothing's wrong. I just wanted to thank you." I said, "Well, you're welcome." He says, No. "You don't understand. We really learned some new things. Came home, had a drink with Dick, my husband. He hadn't known what I did, and I told him what I did. And I said, 'Dick, you know, like breathing in and out, I don't understand.' And he said, 'Nancy, don't ever be surprised. Nobody's ever shown them.'" Well, I mentioned what I just shared with you to the then general manager of a newspaper in Davenport, Iowa, one of our major clients in another company we owned. And we took him out to dinner. Now, what do you think you talk about when you take your largest account out to dinner? Right. You talk about what you did that day. That's what you're going to do tonight to the dinner, Paul. You can talk about this program and all the things you did tonight at dinner. Mark my words. So the guy, the general manager, says, "What'd you do today?" So I told him about calling Michael and canceling the policies and the cookies and the donuts and the please and thank you and you're welcome. I didn't think much about it. Went home, came to my office the next morning. My phone was ringing. It was the general manager from the newspaper in Davenport, Iowa. And he said, "Nance, I've been thinking about what we talked about last night, and you're right. From president to maintenance, if you have a telephone in your office, you should be trained. Would you come to my newspaper?" And I said, "Sure, Bob. How many people do you have?" He said, 300. I turned to my husband. I said, "Now look what you got me into." Well, I happened to have married the can-do man, and the can-do man said, "You can do it, Nancy." So I sat down, and I wrote a half-day program, and I flew up to Davenport, Iowa. It was the Quad City Times in Davenport, Iowa, and I delivered four programs. The first program was delivered only to managers because Bob, the general manager of the newspaper, said, "If this program is to work, and I want it to, it must start at the top, Nancy. It must dribble down. It cannot dribble up." And so I want all the managers of this newspaper to understand what's going to happen from now until forever. So I delivered the first program to all the managers of the Quad City Times in Davenport, Iowa. And when I was done, the editor of the Quad City Times walked over to me, stuck his finger in my face. He said, "You know, you're pretty darn good." He said, "I'm going to call you the doctor. I'm going to call you the telephone doctor." And I came running home to Dick. I said, Dick, some guy called me the telephone doctor. What do we do? He said, let's go get it registered. We're going to have some fun. So fun we've been having running around the country, the world, if you will. We present all over the world, the United Kingdom, Australia, Jamaica, Bermuda, Germany. The United States does not have a monopoly on poor customer service. So that's the shortened version of how I got to be the telephone doctor from a newspaper editor at the Quad City Times in Davenport, Iowa, who heard what I had to say. But like you said, we morphed in. We followed. I don't want to say followed the money because that's rude, but we followed the plan as the telephone used to be in the back of the bus. When we came into business, computers were just coming in 20 some odd years ago. So anytime I would make a cold call or try to get somebody to listen, they would say, well, it's all good, but we got this new computer thing on our desk. So we had an upward trail, as it goes, of trying to get people to pay attention. And then what came in? The fax came in. So we worked on the fax, and then voicemail came in, and we got good at voicemail, leaving messages, delivering messages, accepting messages. So now we've got, like you say, what we call the six touch points of communication: email, voicemail, snail mail. Don't forget that written letter, phone, fax, face-to-face. I left out text. Why do you think I left out text, Paul?
I'm not really sure.
Well, that's a good answer, because nobody is. The bottom line is text is moving along quite quickly, as we all know. But we, as telephone doctor, with our surveys, we cannot find it in the mainstream for business practices. In other words, a franchisor isn't going to send a proposal to a prospect by text unless the prospect says, I only use text, send me a text. Right now it's, hey, you want to go to lunch? Yes, where? Friday's okay, see you later. It's the quick, you know, bump, bump, bump little messages to each other. So I've left out text in the six touch points of communication, but it is moving in the direction of becoming communications. And Lord knows what's happening next. We have content. We're content providers. So we don't care if you use two cans and a string. We'll have the right content to communicate better with people.
Absolutely. You know, back in the day, some of us, I know you'll remember Sam Drucker, the general store owner on Petticoat Junction and Green Acres and some other shows. You know, back in the day when the store owner like Sam Drucker had the phone installed at their place and they were standing at the counter and Mrs. Johnson was at the counter, and the phone rang behind them. He thought, you know, damn it, that's such an interruption. I don't know if I'm going to like this. And of course, we've seen that, you know, through the years with different forms of communication where it's very interruptive, very much in our face. And it can be used to either strengthen or weaken a relationship.
Very well put.
And communications, you know, especially in something like franchising, that's built upon a complex series of relationships. And I often, you know, talk about, you know, business to business is one thing, business to consumer is another thing. But when you throw franchising into the equation, it just doesn't add another level. It adds multiple levels because you have the customer that might be the customer of the franchisee, but maybe they're the customer of the franchisee because they have the confidence in the franchisor. And there's a whole multitude of different ways that can go. But communications is paramount. And yet, and I'm going to be anxious to, you know, talk with Stan next week from the multi-unit show as he hears from different people and hears different reports that, you know, franchise development agents are not following up with phone calls. So I think the last time I heard the number, it was like 50% in a survey or a testing of thousands of phone calls. 50% were not, the phone wasn't answered, nor was the call responded to inside of 72 hours, if not at all. So
yeah,
those are good.
And interjecting here, I confirm those surveys. It's frightening. And excuse me for interjecting here, and I'll let you get back to your thought. But you know, because you're a social media guru here, that I don't care what social media you use today, chat, Insta, whatever it is, all roads lead back to that telephone eventually, mm-hmm. eventually. So
yeah,
very few things, you know, okay, you can order on Amazon without making a phone call, but there's surveys out there that show people having so much trouble ordering, they pick up the phone and they call Amazon. So
right.
Yes, you're right, and you are going down the right track. I apologize, but I don't misconstrue my interruptions, interjections as anything but enthusiasm for what you're saying.
No,
it's
absolutely
not your show. It's our show. So I want to hear what you've got to say. And I am a little disappointed we're not taking any questions. I love the franchisor questions and the franchisees questions because I'm able to help them directly. So I believe you'll send our email and phone number sometime along the show, and I'll be happy to answer any questions that they have if I can directly and personally. So I wanted to say that to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll have an opportunity at the end of the show to find out how they can contact you directly. But where I was going with this, you know, today's show is titled, you know, Positively Memorable Communications, a Success Prescription. And regardless of what the communications, you know, platform is, there is an opportunity to create a positively memorable experience through that communication, which, you know, we've heard of time and time again, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And here's a great opportunity to make that first impression and make it positively memorable. So with all that you've seen, and it seems simple enough, why doesn't that occur?
Oh, you know, if I had the answer to that, I'd be somewhere floating in, you know, island somewhere. Don't let us forget to let our audience know that I am a former franchisor. That's important because I just didn't come down from the sky to say, hey, I'm going to be an expert in franchising. I'm not an expert
right.
in franchising. I won't say I failed at it, but we were a franchisor. And that story, while shorter than the last one, might open somebody's eyes because it opened ours in the wrong way. You want to hear that?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely.
I'm sorry. I'm. You can tell I'm a little ADD. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yep.
Keeps you on your toes. Well, what happened is two former franchisors found us, liked our material, and they came and they met with, we're a small family-owned business, which is why I love franchising. My husband, myself, and my son is now running the internal parts. He's fabulous. But anyway, this was about 10 years ago, and they came to us, and they showed us a spreadsheet, Paul, a spreadsheet where our eyes got like saucers. We can replicate you one way, then we can do it 5 times, and we can do it 10 times. How would you like to have 30 buildings? How would you like to have 40? And pretty soon, we were billionaires, okay, with this spreadsheet. And mm-hmm. We fell for it long and hard. Because we felt what we had was duplicate, whatever that word is.
that's exactly what I run into with that word. Yes.
Okay,
yes, we can duplicate
you.
It.
We can duplicate it. So bottom line, we eventually, within a very short period of time, within a year, got 5 franchisees. And I will just bottom line it and say 4 we got rid of very quickly and 1 we kept too long. That was our experience, and it certainly didn't happen with Subway and all the franchisors that I work with around the country. But it can happen if we're not open enough with the people that want to buy our franchise, because the people that we got as franchisees should never have been franchisees. And that's another story for another show. I just wanted to bring it in to show that I'm touched by what you all go through. Been there, done there. So you asked about common sense. You lose it sometimes. You lose it. Common sense would have been for us to have asked a heck of a lot more questions when we saw that spreadsheet. Common sense would have said, hey, don't let our eyes get like saucers, because how possible is it to get 100 telephone doctors around the country? Well, do you ever hear that a good salesperson loves a good salesperson? You know that expression?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The 3 of us are pretty good salespeople, and so we respect and like when we are being sold properly, or think we're being sold properly, and all the techniques are used and we fall for them. So it opened our eyes that, you know, maybe we weren't exactly a Ponzi scheme or we weren't exactly a Bernie Madoff, but we fell for something that wasn't right for us. It wasn't right for us. Because my dream was, have 100 telephone doctor offices around the country, train the world. But it didn't happen. So bottom line, I spend a lot of time helping my clients, and many of them are franchisors and franchisees. And common sense comes into play, because when I'm done with the program, I just got an email this morning from a client. How common is common sense? It's not. It's not. And I don't know that it ever will be. I don't know that it will ever be 100% everybody getting it. Now, going back to a memorable experience, that's a passion with many companies. How can we make it a memorable experience? Well, there isn't just one thing. It's a combination of dozens and dozens of things. And so when you go after just one thing, all right, be nice. What does that mean? Smile. Well, what does that mean? You know, so now you got to smile and be nice together. Well, some people find that very difficult. Some people can smile and not be nice. So, yeah, some people can be nice and not smile. So the whole thing that's out there about people saying, just do this and you'll be okay, is in my opinion, false. And I stand on my soapbox and I can probably out-talk anybody on that. But the one thing that does come down to a common ground is if you have what we call the care gene, C-A-R-E, the care gene. You know that old saying, the customer doesn't know how much you care until doesn't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Right. So the care gene counts, and that's a real hard gene to find in people.
Can it be taught?
Wow. Now you're getting psychological on me. Who do we bring in for the psychological part? I'm not sure. I'm not sure on that. I wish I had the answer. I mean, I get to touch a lot of people. And, 80% of them say, wow, I didn't know that. Thank you. I can do this. So, yes, it can. But there are always going to be people who don't care. Just like there's going to be bad guys.
Yeah. So, just going through the motions.
Yes, exactly. And that's what's sad. I'll just do this. So now how do you when franchisors bring in the franchisees and they do some training with them, and most of them do a very good job, especially on the customer service, because they know how important it is. But they need to find out if they have the care gene. The care gene. Do you have the care gene? Do you or you don't? Do you care about people? Do you care about situations? Do you care when something bad happens? You go into exchange something. It's like, well, I don't care. It's our policy. You can't exchange that. Well, they don't care. If they care, they find a way to do something positive.
Well, certainly the franchisors, have to lead by example. And it's a thing that's, often referred to as, culture of the brand, culture of the organization. And that starts, to me at that, we talk about that initial impression, that starts to me when that franchise development person first gets on that phone, not when that person's a franchisee, but when that person is just an interested individual in that particular franchise. And that, to me, sets the groundwork. And obviously, there are many franchise organizations that get that, and those are the ones that grow by leaps and bounds. And there are ones that have a hard time getting out of their own way because they don't return the initial phone call for weeks at a time, or don't handle the call, correctly because they're not, talking to them from the standpoint of having that care gene. Because, franchise candidates, as we know, and especially today, I mean, we do know the candidates today are more sophisticated, educated, and technologically advanced than ever before. But there's still a big emotional state that they're in. They're more cautious than ever before. They are more diligent than ever before. And because of uncertainty, whether it be, entering a new field, making an investment, sometimes putting their entire life savings on the line, there's certainly a level of anxiety that has to be dealt with. And I think a lot of the franchise people that have the point of contact with candidates don't have that care gene in them, or don't even think about that phone call from a care standpoint.
You know, you're probably right. I've never monitored one of those calls, but I wrote an article, and I happened to pull it out because this is one of my surprises. I wrote an article called, "Are You Asking the Right Qualifying Questions to the Right Candidates to Get a Qualified Franchisee?" It's short. It's one page, single space, a lot of paragraphs. So if anybody wants it, just email Nancy at telephonedoctor.com. Nancy, N-A-N-C-Y, at telephonedoctor, and that's all one word, .com. It's just a short letter saying, are you asking the right questions? Now, I didn't give you the right questions, but the care gene also means be a good listener. And salespeople love to talk. They love to tell you how much they know. They love to brag about their product. They love to blah, 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 blah. Well, when you've got a prospect on the line, why do you think God gave you two ears and one mouth? Because we got to listen more.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are some people who have the answer on the tip of their tongue, ready to answer the question that the candidate, no matter who it is or what industry it's in, they got the answer for them. It is so much more effective to pause and say, Mr. Smith, that is a great question. Let me ask you something else. And then get the candidate talking. One of the things I want to do is speak again at IFA, and I want to share some of these tips with the franchisors and the franchisees, because it's good for any hiring, for staff hiring, because we just all want to talk about our product. And that's why there's so many books on hiring, because to teach you how to ask the right questions. But when you're looking for a franchisee, now you got to have special questions. Now you got to bring out your pail and shovel and really dig deep into pain points and really dig deep into what they want and really, you know, their real needs. Because a lot of people are out there, I don't know what I want to do. I'll call and see if, you know, maybe I can get a big old tire. I like cars. Well, does liking cars make you a qualified candidate? You know, I like dresses. I don't know that I want to own a franchise of a dress store. So it goes back to the care gene, and it goes back to having a list of questions for every call that comes in, and not just boom, 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 boom questions that can be answered by the candidate so that you can ask them yet another question. The more questions you can ask a candidate, the more information you'll get. But you know how you go to a restaurant and the presentation is beautiful? That's how questioning needs to be. Questioning skills needs to be a presentation. It's not just, what are you looking for? How much money
right.
you got? You know, it needs to be a beautiful presentation.
Yeah, I refer to that as earning the right. And, you know, I started down this path when
good.
I was talking about, you know, communicating in social media, but it really works across any type of communication. It's, you know, share information, interact, get to the point of having an engaging conversation, and only then have you earned the right for a call for action, which might be just earning the right for a subsequent phone call. And
absolutely.
Too many want to go
everything
from
doesn't
sharing
happen.
Information. Yeah, they want to go from sharing information to immediately selling, you know, and especially
right.
in the digital space. And I say, would you walk into a live event, a Chamber of Commerce meeting, with a sign on your head and say, I'm Paul and I'm here to sell this? No. You're going to interact. You're going to get an engaging conversation. And, yes, you're going to earn the right to tell people what you do, to get involved in deeper conversations, hopefully get involved in a, you know, in a phone call or in a meeting as a result of where you're at today. But they want to jump from, especially when that face-to-face is not there, the phone, email, social media, they want to go from sharing information to buy from me. And it happens,
you know,
time after time.
Absolutely. Evan, you're giving me ideas for topics. Oh, my gosh, you're so good, Paul. That's not blowing smoke in your face. As you speak, I'm writing notes down as to either a blog or topics for a program that can help my clients. But I lost my train of thought because I got so much on. My mother used to say, you just have so much on your mind when that happens. Doesn't mean
you think about this for a second, Nancy. I want to tell everybody we're live. It's Franchise Today, brought to you by Franchise Foundry, helping emerging brands move forward, and also sponsored by FRM Solutions, in my mind, just one of the best software platforms on the market today, and I certainly don't do justice to our promo as my co-host Stan Friedman does every week. But Stan today is at the multi-unit franchising conference, and we look forward to him being back next week and sharing with us that event. So, Nancy, did you come back to your thought, or did it elude you?
No, I was right. I was still writing as you talked. But that's okay. We can go back to any topic you want, because we're both on something that we love, and that is communication, passionately. We were talking about questions, and, you know, there's I won't even say he's old because he's dead now. That's how old he is. It was a wonderful sales trainer that my husband found years ago by the name of Doug Edwards. And his material, I don't even think you can get it anymore. But he wrote a wonderful CD or DVD or whatever the heck it is called Questions Are the Answers. Man, mm-hmm. Our salespeople listen to that. Questions Are the Answers. And it's listening, and asking questions off that. And then here's the secret, and you know this as well as I do. It's taking notes as you talk to somebody on the phone so you can go back to that question that you wanted to, but you didn't want to interrupt the candidate as they were talking. Because you know what? As much as you've got to say as the franchisor or the franchise development specialist or whoever's going to sell them has a lot to say, so does the candidate. So does the candidate. They've got a background. They've got information. They've got useful information and not useful information. And that's the job of you and me, to weed out people who have useful information versus not useful information. That's pretty hard.
But it's finding out their why. And as we know, of course, there are certain people that get involved in franchising because they are looking at, you know, a big investment. They're looking at return on investment, and that's a different category. The majority of them are looking at, you know, achieving a wish, a hope, a dream. Is this a vehicle for them to be able to do so? So you definitely have to get into the emotional.
You can
side.
Answer this question. I apologize. This is me doing what I said not to do, and that's because you just said something. Why are there so many absentee franchisee owners? Because therein lies, in my opinion, a huge problem, especially in the first year of owning a franchise. So, and I don't know the ground rules, and I don't know all the what goes on, but you give me the percentage of franchise owners that aren't there, because that's got to be high, Paul. That's got to be high of franchise owners.
Well, I think there are certain concepts that are right for absentee ownership. In the truest sense, having a layer of management, reporting systems, et cetera. But still, regardless, I would want to know the ins and outs of my business. And if I was in that position, I probably would spend at least the first year knowing every part of the business, and then I could step out of it and be absentee. But what happens in even the ones that are not set up for true absentee ownership, the franchisee makes an investment. They spend some of the initial time there, and then they actually come about being in business for the wrong reasons. They think that freedom means I can go play golf every day, or I could come in late. And they definitely don't want people, you know, in the situation of do as I say and not as I do, because that's the culture again that's created in that organization. And I've seen that time after time, a big reason for not only franchisee failure, but small business failure. But I guess it shines through in franchising more because people, if they get into a business and they think that they want some more of that freedom, and that freedom being, I can go play golf every day. They're thinking because I'm buying a business in a box, I'm buying a proven business system, I have more of a chance of doing it. But you know what? It comes down to people. You better have some well-trained people. You better have the systems
right.
That you'll be able to, you know, educate them on, train them on, monitor, discipline them on, whatever the case might be, or help them improve. But that comes down to, you know, sharing the information, interacting with your staff, having those engaging conversations, and only then have you earned the right to be able to take that time off and enjoy a round of golf on a sunny day.
And you just proved my point. When you go to sell, when a franchisor goes to sell a franchisee, those are great questions to ask them. How much time do you want off? You know, tell me what you're looking. You want to play more golf? Yeah, man, that's why I want to buy this. I want to get somebody in there and really, you know, teach them how to do it. And then I'm out of here. I got a place down in Florida. I'm out of here 6 months. So hidden questions are good questions, but you know, again, the presentation. You need to know how to ask a hidden question. You need to. Do you remember the show Columbo?
Yes.
Peter Falk. Okay.
Yep.
So, you know, we use the Columbo technique, and that is a great, great technique. You're about to close a conversation, you're about to close a situation, you're about to close a topic, and then you ask the one that finds the killer. By the way, Mr. Segretto, meant to ask you, where were you the night of April 23rd, Wednesday? And that's the question he wanted to ask in the beginning, but he kept it.
Mm-hmm.
He kept it because he was getting little pieces of puzzles, little pieces of information, and then the crowning glory is his hand on the knob, turning it and turning around and saying, "By the way, Susie," and asking that one crowning glory question. And that can be done in looking for the right candidate. But you've got to be able to ask those hard questions. And they are hard questions. They're personal questions. But in my mind, as a franchisor, which I was, as my mind, I wasn't selling my baby. I wasn't selling my children. But I was giving birth to a child.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed that birth to be semi-perfect, if you will. Now, what we learned and what I found out in the 10 years since is that you can't mandate your franchisees, apparently. And I found that the most frustrating part, especially in the training world, because there's certain things that we deliver in training that have changed. I cannot, it's like McDonald's with a secret sauce.
Mm-hmm.
They're not allowed to make a new sauce. So it's the same thing with what we had. And I said to Dick and David, my kids, I said, well, my husband and kids, you know, if I can't mandate what we want, then I don't know that this is right for us, because they're going off in left field. They went off the reservation. And that's what happens sometimes. And I'm not saying that's why a franchisee fails, but it could be one of the reasons that they're not successful is they don't follow the ground rules.
Well,
now,
so let me,
going back
that's
to...
A, that's a, but that's a good point. Let me interject on this, because we don't spend, you know, time really preparing for these shows, and we allow these conversations to evolve. And that's exactly my point with communications. You know, a lot of times, you know, people listen to speak as opposed to listen to learn. And in doing so, they miss a lot of key things. So you when I've done surveys about franchise failure, small business failure, and I talk to franchisors, and they say, well, the franchisee is a renegade. That's why he failed. And they're not following the system. And the franchisee was undercapitalized, and that's why they failed. And, of course, I say to that, shame on you, because you shouldn't have allowed him in undercapitalized. But as far as becoming a renegade, when I interview, and I've done well over 1,000 of these, when I interview franchisees that have failed, I find that just under 90% fail for two different reasons, and it's split almost in half. One half is they just don't know how to operate within a business. And that even falls into the senior HR executive of a Fortune 100 company that buys a franchise and fails miserably because he doesn't know anything else but HR, okay?
Right.
But then there's the other half, and this is where communications comes into play. Because the other half fails because of some other reason, usually a personal reason. And these can be eliminated, A, or addressed in the candidate process when they're still a candidate, okay?
Amen.
By
Amen.
Asking the
yeah.
right questions. Because what happens is they fail almost 50% of the time because they let junior into the business too early. Their spouse wasn't on board with them. They made a lot of money right out of the box and put white powder up their nose and a host of a lot of things. And when I mention that to franchisors, the first thing they say is, we're not therapists. I said, yeah, but you're communicators. You know what they were like when they hit a certain point. And if you had asked the right questions all along, you have a basis of which to monitor where they're going. If all of a sudden they say, yeah, I'm bringing junior into the business, and 3 weeks later their sales are in the toilet and they're on this deep slide, you got to immediately put a stop and say, let's have some communications here. Let's talk about what's going on. But you usually wait till it's too long. Or worse, you know, my wife just can't put up with the hours that we're having to put in.
Right.
And
see, all those are all objections in telephone doctor mentality. I would say 99.9, not all. I don't like words in stone. Most objections can be handled prior to the sale.
Absolutely.
Whether it's we have online training, we can handle any objection before the sale so that, you know, when we come to do the close, they don't get to say something that we hadn't covered. When somebody wants to book me, I try to, you know, I will cover the objections that I know have been raised in the past. So there are very few objections that any company, any franchisor or any franchisee for their own staff can't handle in a candidate interview. It is 100% questioning, learning. Don't you wish sometimes candidates could take a lie detector test, though? Sadly, some people do fib, and that's out of my hands. I just, you know, as you get a little older, and you listen to voice tone, and you can see nerves and twitching, and you can see when people aren't really telling the truth. And most of us have read some sort of body language when you're looking
sure.
up for answers, you really don't have it. Yada yada yada. But we're on the same track. We're on the same path. And I'm just so excited even talking about this because not that I want to go back into franchising, but I love to help my franchisors and franchisees. And that's both of our passions. I know it is. You are so well thought of, and I have learned so much from you in our short amount of time, and I'm so grateful. So you get to ask another question. You can ask anything weight.
The same goes for me.
Okay.
You know, it comes down to, you know, people, like I said, you know, most people listen because they're trying to figure out what they want to say next as opposed to listening to learn what the person is really telling them. And I think that, you know, obviously should be a key factor in the franchise sales process. Obviously, it should be a key factor in franchisee working with customers or clients. It certainly should be a key factor in the franchisor working with franchisees, you know, later on. It is all about communications, and communications, as we know, is definitely the cornerstone, if not the entire foundation of establishing strong relationships, because it lends towards what I call, you know, the three-legged stool, which is truth, trust, and transparency. And you can't have truth, trust, and transparency without solid communications.
Absolutely. And, you know, here's an idea for our franchisors at this point, or, you know, anybody who's trying to sell a candidate. I wonder how many of them, and this would be interesting, do a mock run-through, so that the questions that they're going to ask the real candidates don't sound teleprompter-ish, don't sound memorized, don't sound, oh, I've said this 1,000 times. So rehearsals, if you will. Now, my background is theater, and I've had an amazing theater career with some very famous people, which I'm not going to try and impress you with, Cesar Romero or anything like that. But the bottom line is we in theater, you have rehearsals. Every show that goes on, musicians have rehearsals. So kids do rehearsals. So I'm wondering now if the people that are listening would say, you know what, maybe there's a point here. So Susie, come here. I want you to be interested in buying a franchise. And then ask those hard to ask questions to somebody who's not going to run away. You know, maybe it's your secretary. Maybe it's, you know, the IT person, or maybe it's the HR lady sitting in the hot seat. and then practice those questions. Have them written down so you know what to ask. Because one of the easiest things to do, and you know it and I know it, is to forget to ask the right question. One, oh, shoot, why didn't I ask him that? Gosh darn it, I forgot.
Well,
you know what? We have what we call the 8 great questions, and they're on every salesperson's desk. Now, they don't need to ask them on every call, and they don't need to ask them in order, but they need to ask them so we don't forget to say the right thing. And people who think they can memorize everything are making a big mistake. Big mistake. Well, I won't forget to ask that. That's important. Well, you know what? Conversations go left, you know, go left and go right, and get taken off the reservation, and you can't. Go ahead.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, a good point about, you know, with acting, you have, you know, a script, you have the screenplay, you have, you know, things to say, you know when to say it. And unfortunately, there's a lot of franchise organizations, and obviously the ones that are successful already have a system. But the younger ones, the emerging ones, don't take the time to truly develop a system, a sales process, knowing what happens after this phone call, what happens after this question, knowing where to
take
them.
Big mistake.
Yeah,
big
and
mistake.
It's a big mistake that they don't have it, and they wing it, and they think, oh, great. And I was just consulting on an advisory level with a franchisor that has very, very aggressive growth plans, and they're doing well. Much better than most franchise organizations, but it's not at the level they want. And they couldn't understand and were actually thinking that the franchise salespeople were giving them, meaning the senior people, were getting inaccurate information because they would say, oh, yeah, we have 4 in the pipeline, and these 4 should close by the end of the month. There should be no problem with it. The end of the month comes, and, of course, every stakeholder's been shared that information, and the end of the month comes, and none of them close. And I've asked a hard question to senior management. Do you trust the information you're getting and all of this? And it was all positive. But what had actually happened was lack of communications at a process. When the franchise salesperson had the candidate at what I call the 75-80% magical point, when they now were getting ready to take them the final 20% over the finish line, there was this lag period. It might have been scheduling a trip up to the office or whatever the case might be. And all of a sudden, the communications dropped. And what happened? When the franchise sales agent got back in touch with them to try to work towards finalizing things, his or her mindset was, I've got them at 80%. They're probably at 85 right now. But the candidate, if he had time on his hands and decided to look elsewhere, even if it was just to ratify in his mind that he was making the right decision, actually slid to as low as 50%. And then when
amazing?
They got back together, there was a total disconnect, and then all of a sudden, they're sitting on the fence. Now, the salesperson, who doesn't want to hear a no, leaves it as a maybe, and all of a sudden, that pipeline, instead of closing at 60 days, is going out to 180 days, and you know those people are never going to get a
And branch. Why isn't... this is such an exciting, I hope you have me back again because we're really not going to be able to finish all the things you and I want to. But why isn't the franchise person asking them, who else are you looking at? Who else are we looking at? You know, tell me a little bit about your buying process yourself, sir. And most people say, well, I'm looking at so-and-so and I'm also looking at so-and-so. You have the right as a salesperson to know that. You have that right.
Absolutely.
Paul, those are hard questions for people who are not. Now, I've met some of the franchise folks that sell, and they're good, seasoned salespeople. But I have never met a successful salesperson that didn't say, I've got more to learn, including myself. My husband, who's a master salesperson, he's constantly reading and constantly learning. And I mean, any little tip, technique, idea, or skill that we can put into our little brain to make it better is so exciting to us and to any other salesperson.
Lee Iacocca, who we all know, said it best. He said, a man is not as smart by what's between his ears as he is by what he could put his hands on. And it means that whole library, that whole world of learning and constantly learning and being able to put their hands on that type of information. And I think it's the reason why I've got, you know, thousands of books and, you know, on business and sales and entrepreneurship and everything under the sun.
I hope you get to meet my husband, because he too is a voracious reader. And that's his mistress, as far as I'm concerned, is his book.
Well, we'll have to arrange. I know that you have an engagement after this, so I want to make sure we have time for you to tell our listening audience how they could get in touch with you, and more importantly, or as importantly, you know, some of the things that you could do for, you know, their franchise organization.
Well, and I appreciate this so much. We help companies communicate better with their customers. That's our mission. That's our livelihood. That's what we do. And so, you know, the old saying, if you can't tell somebody what you do between the floor two and three, get off the elevator. So when somebody says, oh, what is telephone doctor? We help companies communicate with their customers better. And we can do it with me coming to a program and putting the information in people's head right away. We have DVD training. We have online training. We have Telephone Doctor University. We have small group, large group. So we have, obviously, nancyfriedman.com is my site for program information. And you didn't get a chance to shout out some of the Telephone Doctor or some of my clients on that I've spoken at, but they're healthy, good ones. I'm a two-time speaker at Subway. I'm a two-time speaker at dozens of other conferences. We just booked Moran Family Brands. We just did Novus Glass. I mean, I'm just honored and thrilled, not just to be there, but I'm honored and thrilled with the feedback that says it's still common sense, but I learned so much. So, yes, bringing me to a conference is my main thing. The phone number in St. Louis, so we're Central Time, is 314-291-1012. And if you notice, you want to stop between the area code and the number to give people time to write. That's a little free tip. 314, that is Central Time, 291-1012. So that's a little free tip there. Anybody who at Nancy@telephonedoctor.com and says, I love the show with Paul, will get a free book. That is my thank you to everybody who is listening right now. And I'm not saying you have to do it today. It can be, you know, when somebody listens to it Monday or Tuesday. So we have our several books to offer, and you will get a complimentary autographed copy, which will turn out to be $21 instead of just $20. But it's my pleasure to give your audience something. They sat through, if anybody did sit through the whole thing, you get two books. But bottom line, that's my pleasure. You got the area code, you got the phone number, you get everything but my weight.
There you go. Well, thank
my blood
you,
type ORH negative. let's see what else we got. Well, we do obviously all types of industries, from travel to hospitality to whatever. The franchising has become, and I must thank, and I hope he's listening. If not, somebody tell him. Mark Liston, president of Glass Doctors, the one who, yeah, he is, and Mary Kay. But Mark was a client of ours many years ago, and he stopped by my office and he said, how come you're not a member of IFA? And I said, I don't think I need to be. He said, yeah, I think you do. There's nothing in it for him. I joined IFA. Strong supporter, got to speak twice at the mini sessions, hoping obviously for 2017, because we do have information they can walk away and utilize immediately. To brag a little bit, we got a lot of business from those conferences of people who said, wow, you know, I never heard of you. Well, we are a good secret, but I don't need to be a secret anymore. So,
right.
You are a well thought of individual in the franchise industry, Paul. You have a lot to be thankful for. I know. Thankful for. Thank you for this time. Did I miss out on it? I'm looking at my notes if we covered everything. Talked about the book, talked about the article, talked about the website, my phone number.
We're good to go. And if we missed anything, certainly we want to have you back on the air again in the future. And
God bless. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And I thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be a guest with us.
I'm in the Florida Keys. How busy can I be?
That's true. That's true. Thank you, Nancy.
Okay, my friend. Thank you. Be well. Travel safe. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's another show for Franchise Today. Until next week at the same time, my name is Paul Subretto, wishing you the best, the very best, in this great, great thing we call franchising. And Franchise Today is out.